The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 16. Laughin' and a Runnin'. The next day, Harry went to Professor Burbage's office on the first floor during his free period.
"Happy Tuesday, Harry," Professor Burbage greeted Harry.
"Hello, Professor," said Harry. "I got your message, and it sounds like you may be able to help me."
Professor Burbage smiled.
"I think I have some good news for you. I was able to procure a couple of items of interest."
She opened a drawer in her desk and produced what looked like a portable cassette player with some headphones.
"Have you ever seen one of these before?"
she asked Harry.
Harry nodded.
"Yes, my cousin had a set much like that."
Professor Burbage grinned.
"So you were effectively muggle raised then. I remember your parents from back in the day. I would have imagined more of an effort would have been made to introduce you to the wizarding world before you came to Hogwarts, but I digress."
She then produced a couple of cassette tapes.
"One of these is Don Henley's I Can't Stand Still, and the other is Van Morrison's Blowin' Your Mind. Is 1 week enough time to learn the songs you mentioned to me?"
Harry nodded.
"I think that should be enough, yes?"
Professor Burbage put the portable cassette player and the tapes in a small pouch and handed the pouch to Harry. Harry smiled.
"Thank you, Professor. I can't wait to use this."
"Now, Harry,"
Professor Burbage said gently,
"you'll need to be discreet about this. I suggest using this device strictly in your dormitory and common room. As far as we are concerned, I don't own them, and I never gave them to you. Please don't get caught with them. I am loath to think what will happen should Professor Snape or Mr. Filch find out you have these muggle artifacts."
"I understand, Professor," Harry replied. "I only plan to use them in my dormitory and common room."
Professor Burbage beamed.
"Thank you for being understanding, Harry. I know I can count on you. If you do need more time, please call me, and I can extend the time accordingly."
"Perfect. Thanks again, Professor," responded Harry.
Harry then went to the Great Hall for lunch. He sat at the Gryffindor table, but kept to himself more than usual. Hermione picked up on his relative silence.
"What's wrong, Harry? You haven't said much this morning at breakfast, and you're not saying much now. Is everything okay?"
asked Hermione.
"I just have a lot on my mind," Harry said. "I spoke with Professor McGonagall yesterday, and she knows some things about me which surprised me."
"Oh?" replied Hermione.
She sat closer to Harry and gave him a gentle hug.
"Is it something you can share, or is it something you're not ready to discuss?"
Harry sighed.
It's something I'm not ready to discuss, Hermione. I'll tell you when the time is right, but I just have so much to think about."
Hermione squeezed Harry more tightly, then began gently rubbing his shoulder.
"I get it, Harry. I'll give you all the time in the world. Whatever it is, it sounds very personal, and even painful. I wish I could help you."
Harry smiled at Hermione.
"Thank you, and you are helping me, just by being you. The sweet, smart, and patient you. Don't ever change."
Hermione planted a smooch on Harry's forehead.
"I don't plan on it."
She cocked her head.
"Do you want to visit the Hufflepuff table? Lila and Susan haven't seen us yet today. I'm sure they would love to chat."
Harry nodded.
"Just for a bit, sure."
Harry and Hermione went to the Hufflepuff table to greet Lila and Susan. Lila and Susan exchanged hugs with Harry and Hermione.
"We missed you this morning," Lila said. "And we were starting to think you were not coming over for lunch. I'm glad you two came over."
"I didn't mean to forget you, Lila," Harry said. "It's just been a hectic couple of days. A lot of things to think about."
"I understand, Harry. You don't need to elaborate,"
Lila replied gently.
"Oh, I got in touch with Professor Burbage earlier today. She gave me a muggle device so I could listen to music. She let me use it for a week," Harry said.
"That's nice," Lila said.
"I'm guessing you can't show us right now."
"Yeah, I really should use it in the dormitory in the Gryffindor common room, because they really frown on muggle devices here," replied Harry.
"Yeah, imagine if Snape or Filch find out," said Susan.
"I'm trying not to," chuckled Harry.
"Well, it's almost time for our next class," said Hermione.
"It was good catching up with you two."
"It did me some good seeing you two as well," Lila squeaked. "I'll see you later then."
"Later, Lila," replied Hermione.
Later that evening, Harry and Hermione studied together in the Gryffindor common room. Hermione was a little concerned about Harry as he seemed slightly distracted.
"Harry, talk to me, please," Hermione pleaded. "You've been a bit
off today. I know you have a lot on your mind, but maybe it would do you some good to get it off your chest. You know I care about you very much. You're the best friend I've ever had. Harry sighed. Please keep this to yourself. Hermione nodded. I promise, Harry, this won't leave the room. Harry smiled slightly. Yesterday, Professor McGonagall summoned me to her office. She knows something about me, about my past. Harry began to sniffle a bit. This was hard for him to discuss, even with someone he trusted with his life. I come from a troubled household, Hermione. Professor McGonagall said she became aware of some bad things that happened to me while I was under their supposed protection. Tears started flowing down Harry's cheeks. I was at different times taunted, ignored, yelled at, locked away, and whipped. I hated myself because I was not what my so-called relatives called normal. I lived in the shadow of my spoiled cousin. I never had friends, toys, proper clothes, or proper meals. Hermione gently wrapped her arms around Harry. Tears welled in her eyes. It was just as painful for her to hear Harry's horrible past as it was for him to tell it. Harry, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say other than my heart truly breaks for you. She looked into Harry's brilliant green eyes. Harry, please believe me when I say that you're loved. I love you like family. You are family to me. And you gave me a chance when so few would. You chose to look past the frumpy bookworm and found a soul desperate for companionship. Thank you. Harry smiled at Hermione. I love you like family, too. You're one of my two best friends, and I wish more people would see what a kind and empathetic girl you are. You truly deserve every friend in the world. Hermione gave Harry a little peck on the forehead. She cocked her head. So how did Professor McGonagall know about what happened? Harry shook his head. I'm not sure. She wants me to discuss therapy options with her in a couple of days, but first she wants me to visit the infirmary with her to show Madame Pomfrey visible signs of abuse. Replied Hermione. Did you tell anyone else that you had a rough upbringing? Lila, Harry said quietly. Hermione nodded. Do you think she might have told Professor McGonagall? Harry shrugged. I'm not sure. I know she cares about me just as much as you do, but if she did talk to my house head about my past, I'm not sure how I feel about it. You're not angry, are you? Hermione asked. I'm not angry, Harry said. I'm confused, I'm scared, and I'm ashamed. Ashamed of what? Hermione asked. You didn't do anything wrong, Harry, and you're not the only one here who has had a less than glamorous childhood. I know, Harry murmured. There's a Madame Peel that specializes in helping witches and wizards with troubled childhoods, but I still ask myself, why me? I didn't ask to have these gifts. I also didn't ask to be the Dursleys' unwanted nephew. I still feel so alone. And what if Lila did tell Professor McGonagall? Are you going to ask her? Hermione asked. Part of me does, because I'm still not sure if I'm ready to deal with my past, but I also know she cares for me exactly as you do. I don't want to lose her just because she is so special. She's the very first friend I've ever made, and I always want to be her friend, Harry replied. And remember, you ran away from her when she told you what she saw in the Mirror of Erised. This is real, Harry. This isn't a might be, it's a definitely was. I don't think you're ready to discuss this with her, because I'm afraid that it might create an irreparable rift because you went prodding somewhere you shouldn't, Hermione advised. True, but she also shouldn't have taken it upon herself to discuss my past with someone else, even a trusted adult, without my permission. It goes both ways, countered Harry. Hermione smiled sweetly at Harry. She's also the daughter of a social worker, Harry. She definitely takes after her mum. She really cares about you, and she's afraid that if you don't deal with your past, that it's only going to continue to haunt you. She's really taking you outside your comfort zone so you can be a confident, capable man one day. One that both Lila and myself would be incredibly lucky to spend the rest of our lives with. She took Harry's hand. You're one special boy, Harry Potter. It's nights like these that remind me how grateful I am to share a house with you. Harry grinned. I do feel a bit better, Hermione. Thank you for listening to me. I don't know what I'd do without you, he said as he embraced his friend. A weight has been taken off my chest, and at this point I think we can get back to studying again. Hermione giggled. Could be because we've got quite a lot to go over still. Later that evening, Harry was already in his pajamas. He was about to climb into his bed when Ron startled him. Hey, Harry, quick game of wizard's chess. Harry shrugged. I suppose a quick one won't hurt. Ron set up the game board. Want to take white this time? Sure, replied Harry. Ron smiled. How do you do it, Harry? Harry gave Ron a rather puzzled look. Do what? You have two nice girls that worship the ground you walk on. A couple of angels at that, a blonde bombshell and a super cute brunette, Ron sighed. I can't even get one girl to acknowledge my existence. Well, speaking English instead of gibberish definitely helps, laughed Harry. He then looked at Ron with a very serious expression. And you just need to be you. Be kind to them. Let them know that they're important to you. When you sit and just listen to a girl, like truly listen, you're telling them that they're the single most important thing in the world. They love that, Ron, and sometimes you have to trust them with some things that you're not always comfortable sharing. Things about your past or your fears. Ron groaned. That's too deep for me, Harry. I'm not even 12 yet. I think I'll just stick with telling a girl that she's pretty for now, and I can worry about the deep stuff later. You're lucky, Ron. I had to grow up faster than I should have. I've gone through things no 11-year-old should ever have to go through, sighed Harry. Like losing both your parents? Ron asked, perhaps a little too insensitively. Exactly, replied Harry. Oh, and checkmate, Ron chuckled. That was too easy, wasn't it? Harry asked. Not gonna lie, that wasn't one of your better games, replied Ron. Suppose not, admitted Harry. I'm rather tired anyway. He went back to his bed and took out the portable cassette player from the pouch and started listening to the songs he promised himself he'd learn to sing for Lila and Hermione. It wasn't long before he drifted off to sleep. He would get a surprisingly peaceful and full night's rest. For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.